Oh my goodness, welcome back to another episode of People Pleaser. That's right, from a Blanket Fort recording studio in a one-bedroom apartment, this is People Pleaser. I'm Austin Archer, and today we are talking about reductionism and other annoying ways to lie. Okay, cool. I think everybody is tangentially aware of, you know, reductionism and what it looks like when a person is being annoyingly reductive. I encounter this kind of on a day-to-day basis doing what I do. I see a lot of reductive, bad faith, argumentative tactics, not just in my comments section, but I see this from like mainstream popular right-wing podcasters, and not just podcasters, but sometimes right-wing, you know, news commentary people, where they use these bad faith, reductive arguing tactics to avoid having to actually engage with and contend with the substance of an argument. The TikTok Digital Studio audience is with us here today. Hello, everybody in the TikTok Digital Studio audience. We got about 100 people here. That's a nice turnout. Talk amongst yourselves. For the people in the TikTok Digital Studio audience and for the people over on YouTube, patreon.com/AustinArcher. It's $1 a month over there. Really, really affordable, really accessible, and we have a good time. That's one of the only places on the internet that I post almost every day these days, and I post a lot of exclusive content over there. Everything that I make goes there first, often with bonus content. You get a lot of bang for your buck, and I mean for your buck, literally, because it's just $1, and I think it's even like they knock off a couple bucks if you buy the whole year. You can get a whole year for $10. You can support the work I do here for an entire year for $10, so check that out. It's linked in my bio. It's linked in the description of this video. It's linked everywhere. Patreon.com/AustinArcher. Shout out to the Patreon patrons. Let's get into the show. Reductive arguing. So this is when, you know, someone basically reduces the specific details of a conflict into a muddled abstraction so that they can disingenuously make it seem like the situation is something other than it is, something less reasonable than what it is. An example would be like, let's say that you're in a relationship and your partner is being physically abusive. Your partner is hitting you. That's bad. They're not supposed to do that. That's not good. And so you rightly one day get the gumption to criticize them for their bad behavior and say, I don't want to take this anymore. The way you're treating me is fucked up and bad. You're not supposed to hit me. Don't do that. If your partner came back and said like, wow, you always say that like, I don't show enough emotion. You know, you get mad at me that I keep my emotions holed up inside of my chest and that I have a hard time expressing myself. And then when I express emotion, when I actually let my emotions out, you criticize me? You're like yelling at me and mad at me because I showed emotion? That is a shitty, bad faith, reductive way of dealing with that conflict. It's a way for people to tell half truths, not even half truths, partial truths that are actually just a complete distortion and perversion of the actual truth. It's just a way for people to lie without sounding like they're lying, potentially. Because, you know, in the abstract, in a reduced abstraction of the situation, sure, your partner is having an explosion of intense emotion. They are expressing and showing intense emotion, and you are upset about the way that that emotion manifests and the effect of that emotion. When they refuse to engage with the specifics of what the conflict actually is about, they do a great disservice to the truth of the matter. I mean, at the end of the day, like, it's just a fucking gross lie, right? That's what it is, because that person is hitting you. That's the truth. That's the specific. And they can't deal with the actual substance of the specifics of what's going on, and they know they can't. They know the only way they have any shot of sort of reclaiming any kind of moral footing or high ground in the situation is to abstract the situation, to intentionally muddle the specifics of the situation. If we don't deal with the specifics of what's going on, then I can still sort of in an abstract way go, wow, you know, I actually expressed something honest to you. I just let you know how I actually felt, and you're like jumping down my throat about me showing a genuine show of emotion. I mean, wow, that's really messed up. And it's just such a like fucked up, gross, lazy, cowardly thing to do. It's something that people who know they're wrong and can't bear to face the magnitude of their wrongness resort to so that they don't have to be self-reflective in any way, admit that they were wrong, admit that they have things to look at and work on, possibly have to deal with consequences of their actions, losing access to people who they really want access to, whatever, you know, and that's obviously a very intense example. But I think the ways that we see this more commonly in day-to-day life on the internet is like one way I see it all the time, and I know everyone's seen this argument, is when a conservative person says, you know, when you call everyone who disagrees with you racist or misogynistic or transphobic or homophobic, or say that everyone on the right are Nazis, the words kind of lose all meaning. I had this happen today. I post, lately I've been posting these sort of like compilations of me flaming people on Threads, because that's all I do on Threads, is I just sort of, Threads has unfortunately become Twitter. So, you know, when Twitter became X, it just became like 4chan. It just became the new de facto home for like open white supremacy and Nazism on the internet. And then we sort of, the people who couldn't stand it over there, who were just like, this is fucking too disgusting to look at on a day-to-day basis, and who realized that like the platform had been taken, the fort had been lost, we moved over to places like Blue Sky and Threads. I think Threads has sort of won out in popularity as far as the whatever the new text-based platform is going to be. But what happened is all of the trolls and all of the rage bait bot farms from all over the world, they were like, well, there's no one to fight with on X anymore. It's just X is like Parler or Truth Social. It's just a bunch of Nazis agreeing with each other about everything. So they moved over to Threads and started trying to rage bait all of us. And then I just, you know, I found out that like Threads was one of the last places on meta platforms where you could still make money for generating content. At least for a while, you could actually get Threads bonuses that were pretty good. So I was like, well, it sucks over here, but I get a lot of engagement ratioing these accounts and just being really rude to these conservative bot farms, you know, which like I already made a whole video about why it's not the worst thing in the world to respond to bots, because people are always like, don't waste your time and energy responding to that. It's not a real person, dude. It's just a bot. But it's like, yeah, but real people are sharing these posts and engaging with these posts. Real people are liking these posts. Real people are commenting under these posts. Real people are, and like the ideas being expressed by these rage bait bot farms are real ideas. They are real opinions that real people hold. So there's still some value in like pointing out how shitty and bad those opinions are. But that's where I spent, you know, I'm at my meanest over on Threads, and that's sort of like what I'm popular for over there. That's what people want me to do. But anyway, I post these compilations of like my meanest and most ratioed responses on Threads. And this conservative guy popped into my comments today, and he was like, yeah, I mean, you just call everyone the same names. And when you call everyone those names, because I call a lot of people like dumbass and dipshit. And, you know, I'm not nice. Like, I don't mince words. I don't pull punches. I don't really care to. And I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to, like, convince anybody. I'm just trying to be like, shut the fuck up. You're an idiot. And he's like, yeah, but when you say that to everyone, like, the words lose all meaning, because all it is, it's just a catch-all way for you to just say everyone who disagrees with me is all of these bad things, and then those words don't mean anything anymore. And I was like, yeah, but obviously, like, and this guy commented on like multiple of those posts. And I was like, I think you've read enough of these posts from me, and clearly you've spent enough time on my channels to know that like I do regularly offer up substantive refutations of bad conservative talking points and ideas. I do regularly offer up substantive, eloquent, well-worded, well-spoken refutations of conservative ideology as a whole. I do regularly offer up the substantive reasons why it is harmful and bad and regressive and immoral. At no point do I just say these people are bad because they disagree with me. It's a massive mischaracterization of like what I've done with my career for the last 6 years. And it's also just insanely reductive. And it's also the only way this guy can in any way respond to anything that I'm saying. He knows that too. And I don't know if it's conscious or unconscious, and I don't particularly care. It might be buried so deep down in him that he's not aware that he knows what he's doing, but I do believe that on some level, whether conscious or unconscious, he is aware of what he's doing. He's aware that he cannot engage with the substance of my refutations, with the substance of my arguments, and his only option is to abstract them, is to reduce them, is to say, well, all I see is you calling a bunch of people who disagree with you mean names. The obvious substance there is like the massive context being intentionally missed by this person. The thing that he cannot contend with, the question that needs to be asked is, okay, yes, in the abstract, you are telling a partial truth. I am saying a bunch of mean things to people who disagree with me. You are technically correct on that point. The question that needs to be asked then is, what are we disagreeing on? What are the disagreements? Because it's not just we disagree that Happy Gilmore 2 was the best film of 2025. I mean, if you think that Happy Gilmore 2 is the best film of 2025, I suppose you are entitled to that opinion. I might say you have really dog shit taste and shouldn't be expressing your opinions on movies publicly, but you are entitled to your subjective opinion about something as subjective as, you know, music, movies, food. But I'm not lighting people up on threads based on petty, subjective disagreements like that. So what are the disagreements? That's the work this person has laid out for them if they actually want to meaningfully respond to my work and what I'm saying and my ideology and my position. Because why am I calling people racist? Why am I calling people homophobic, misogynistic? Why am I saying people are Nazis? If I say I think representation in movies and TV and commercials and media is a good thing, I think increased representation for Black people and brown people and Asian people, disabled people and queer people, I think that's a good thing. I think those people should have more opportunities to be represented in stories that are about them. I think they should have more opportunities to write and direct their own stories, to produce their own stories. And I think that's ultimately a net good for society. And if you say, I disagree, well, there's a whole lot of nuance and layers that we can get into about that. What the fuck do you mean about that? How do you disagree with a statement like that? You disagree that it is a good thing for society to have increased visibility for people who are not white, heteronormative Christian people? Racist. You're racist. That means you're racist. If it makes you upset every time you see a Black person in a TV show that you wanted to watch or a movie that you wanted to watch, you're racist. You're racist for that. If seeing Black people represented in media raises your temperature and gets your heart rate going, you're racist. That's what that means. If I'm calling a person racist because they're calling a Black person a DEI hire, you know, Charlie Kirk wants to call Ketanji Brown Jackson a DEI hire who had to steal the job of a more qualified white man. That's racist. You're racist for saying that. If you want to meaningfully, substantively refute my argument, you have to explain to me what about what he's saying is not racist. You actually have to engage with the details, the specifics of the argument, and specifically break it down. Saying, well, you just call everyone racist, so the word has lost all meaning, that's not a meaningful refutation. And what you're really showing is You don't actually know how to make a meaningful refutation. You do not know how to substantively refute my assertion that that's racist. So you just say, well, you call everything racist, but I'm specifically calling racist behavior racist. If I say, I think we shouldn't venerate Confederate war generals, you know, generals of the Confederacy, people who were part of a seditious, treasonous movement to fight a war against this country for the right to own black people as property. If I say, I don't think we should have statues that are lionizing those people and holding up their legacy as heroic and patriotic, I think that their legacy and their lives were the opposite of heroic. I think their legacy and their lives were the opposite of patriotic. And you say, I disagree, racist. You're racist. That's racist. The disagreement we're having means you're racist. You think that we should be lionizing and venerating the war heroes, I say that in the biggest air quotes possible, on the side of the people who were seceding from the United States because the North was saying, because the president at the time was saying, I don't think we should own people as property anymore. And they said, fuck that. You're not taking my slaves away. We will fight the deadliest war this country has ever seen just for the right to own people as property. And you think that those people should be held up as heroes. Racist. You're racist for that. Not just because we disagree about something, a nebulous, indefinable, abstracted something. We just have a disagreement. No, we have a specific disagreement about a specific thing. And that specific thing means something. There is a deduction to this. There is a conclusion to what these things mean. Words mean things, right? Calling a bunch of different people racist because they're expressing racist behavior doesn't make the word racist lose all meaning. As long as I'm always accurately applying it, It continues to mean the thing it means. I'm just describing their behavior. If I talk about the fact that I think we need more women in positions of power in this country, that we need more women of color in positions of power, that that's a good thing for our progress as a country, that it's a good thing that we need to continue pushing for, and you say, I disagree. We need to return to more traditional gender roles. We need to return to a time where only men were allowed to have income, only men were allowed to have credit cards and credit scores and bank accounts, and only men were allowed to vote, and women should just go back to being the de facto homemakers and the, you know, the rearers of the home. If we disagree on that, misogynistic, sexist, that's what that means. That's what that disagreement means. The only reason you are abstracting it is because you know you can't contend with that. You know, if I say, I think it makes sense that gay people should be allowed to marry whatever other consenting adults they want to marry. If two consenting adults want to get married, they should be allowed to do that. And if you say, I disagree, I'm going to need to hear your substantive refutation. And even then, I don't really care. Like, your substantive refutation is going to be bad. It's going to be a bunch of bad arguments I've already heard. That's the thing, is even if you were to try to substantively refute my points about race or my points about gender equality or my points about, basic human rights and dignity for queer people, even if you were to try to substantively engage with them, I'm almost certain that your arguments would suck. But that's the thing, is like, by doing this reductionism song and dance, you're showing me that you know that too, that you also know that whatever argument you could make would be weak and that I would easily dismantle it. You also know that your argument would not hold water and that your argument would just further prove my point. Because, you know, like in the case of gay marriage, like if you just said, well, it's not natural, that's just not God's way, it's not part of God's plan, you know that you would be expressing your personal prejudice against queer people. It's based in your deeply held religious beliefs, but you still know on some level, whether conscious or not, I don't give a shit, but you know on some level that in order to substantively refute my position, you have to express the fact that you fundamentally believe these people are second-class citizens, that they are less than, and that they were made that way by some divine order that was set in motion by the creator of the universe. One of the fundamental beliefs of conservatism is a belief in, like, foundational, fundamental hierarchy, that hierarchy cannot be baked out of society. It is a part of human nature. It is an inexorable part of human existence that we need to have some people who are just naturally, fundamentally better and more privileged, and some people that are naturally, fundamentally less deserving of the privileges of the upper class. And for some reason, a lot of conservatives believe that the people who are naturally, you know, in the divine order of being at the top of things, just happen to be white, heteronormative Christian people. So yeah, fuck that. All of that fundamentally points to an ideology that is deeply bigoted towards queer people and trans people and women and people of color and, like, Nazis. I've heard this over and over and over again this year. I'm overusing the word Nazi, that the word is losing all meaning. Again, if you're being a fucking Nazi, I'm going to call you a Nazi. We need to live with a mindset of anytime we see that bullshit popping its head up, even a fraction, you need to immediately point at it and say, fuck no, that's Nazi shit. Absolutely not. Not even a little bit. To watch them building the mechanisms of enacting the exact same thing that the Reich did in the 1930s and 40s, watching it happen step by step and go, well, let's just wait and see how this plays out. I don't want to jump the gun here and use the N-word, and I mean Nazi when I say that, the Nazi word too quick. I don't want to be too flippant with it. I don't want to devalue the word. I want to make sure that if I use that word, I'm really, really specific about what I mean. And I just want to be clear. The fact that I'm using the word so often these days isn't because I'm being flippant with it or because I don't value the weight of the word. It's because there are a lot of fucking Nazis around. There are a lot of fucking Nazis with a lot of fucking power. Unfortunately, that's the situation I find myself in, and I think that it is imperative on me to be as clear about that situation as I can with my language. That when I see someone talking about the Great Replacement, when I see prominent people with big audiences talking about the idea that brown immigrants who don't want to assimilate to white, Christian, heteronormative culture are coming into America and trying to erase white, Christian, heteronormative culture, and that white, Christian, heteronormative people have a responsibility to push back against that, to reproduce with only other white, Christian, heteronormative people, and to make sure they progenerate the white, Christian, heteronormative way, and that they try to build America and redefine America as a white, Christian, heteronormative ethnostate and homeland. When I see that blatant eugenicist bullshit, I have to call it what it is. I have to call it what it is before they put on the uniforms, before they put on the armbands, before they build the camps. We're already in a point where they're in the uniforms, the camps have been built, like we're way down the road with a lot of this at this point. So again, by abstracting it, by reducing it, by dealing with it in the abstract and saying, you're using that word a lot, and it seems to sort of devalue the word. The word is losing its weight every time you use it. They're telling a partial truth, because the partial truth is, yeah, unfortunately, I am using that word a lot, but the specifics of the situation is, I'm using that word a lot because in January of 2025, the wealthiest man in the world stood on stage at the inauguration of the President of the United States and did a completely unambiguous, emphatic Sieg Heil twice in front of the entire world and a crowd of about 50,000 people who were live there in person, and they all cheered wildly for it. And then the year proceeded to unfold with the building of detention camps and facilities, with taxpayer money being diverted to build places that the government called Alligator Alcatraz, a place, a detention facility that was surrounded by alligators. So, and they're bragging, you know, kind of colloquially just joking about the fact that if anyone tries to escape this facility, they'll be eaten by alligators. That the government illegally was shipping people off to foreign torture facilities without due process, against the orders of federal judges. The judiciary branch was stepping in and saying, this is constitutionally illegal. But because the government is run by loyalists to a fascist regime at the executive level, at the legislative level, and yes, even at the Supreme Court level, they were able to get away with it anyway. In full view of the public, they were constantly breaking constitutional law and doing full-on escalated Nazi shit. That's all it is. And again and again and again, we see stories of people who are full-blown American citizens with all of the necessary paperwork. But when you watch these videos of ICE detentions, they don't ask to see people's paperwork. They walk up to people's cars, they break the window, and they yank the person out of the car and throw them in the back of an unmarked vehicle, and that person in many cases is never heard from again. They're just disappeared. They're either sent to a concentration camp that exists here in the United States, which, by the way, there are already people who are disappearing from these concentration camps, and that's a whole other story we'd go into, that there are already people who are just, somehow these people are, they were there and now they're not, and no one knows where they are. And a lot of these people, like, we can't keep track of them, we can't keep a record on them. What we do know is that the vast majority of detainees are people who have never committed any crimes. I saw a post the other day of a guy who was like, you know how I know they're not violent criminals? You know how I know that none of the people being detained by ICE are violent criminals who are part of a violent criminal network? Because if they were, if ICE was primarily going after really scary, violent gangsters, like people who are in gangs, way more ICE agents would be dead right now. Just period. Period. Like, if they were actually going up to the cars of gang members who are initiated into violent gangs and cartel, like drug cartels, these are like people who have murdered many, many, many people in their lives, and ramming their cars with their car and then shooting out the windows and going up and yanking those people out of their car, we would see a lot of instances of ICE getting lit up by machine gun fire. Because that's what happens when you go up and attack a dangerous gang member. When you go up and attack just like some guy or some woman who's just on their way back from work, they're literally just working somewhere, you know, and they pay taxes with the work that they do. They're just earning money to support a family. And that person doesn't own a fucking gun and has never hurt another person in their entire lives. That's when you see videos like the ones we see, which is just innocent people with crying children in the background, you know, like, please don't take my mom away, please don't take my dad away, and being dragged into a car never to be seen again. This is all blatant, overt Nazi behavior. It's not just Nazi light or Nazi-ish or, you know, Nazi adjacent. It is full-on Nazi behavior, unfortunately. Nick Fuentes has no problem telling you that he's a Nazi. His supporters have no problem telling you that they're Nazis. They believe that the right wing should just drop the, you know, kind of the act. They should stop pretending like they're not, and they should just own it. My point is, the reductive way that people just kind of go, well, you're just calling everyone that you disagree with these bad words, so the words don't mean anything anymore. The actual substance of what we're disagreeing on matters. Another one that's like, I don't know, it's maybe, this one's maybe more palatable, I guess. Like, we can take it down here, we can tone things down in this next section, but I don't know, I might still get heated as I talk about it, but it's another sort of reductive abstraction, and it's when people just kind of go like, AI is just a tool. People are just adopting a new tool and you're just afraid of the future. It's always been this way. There have always been new technologies and new tools, and you're just afraid of new tools. You just can't admit that, like, you don't know how to use it. Other people know how to use the tool better than you, and you don't know how to use it, so you're afraid of it. It's just a tool. The reason why people say this is because, again, whether they are aware of it or not, on some level, they understand that there are serious issues with this tool, and they are not capable or willing to capable of or willing to meaningfully grapple with all of these serious issues. So they just reduce the argument to, it's a tool. It's a tool and it's good. And it's the same thing that people do about guns, right? They're just like, oh, the guns aren't the problem. A gun is just a tool. A tool to do what? A tool that does what? Yes, we're disagreeing. Disagreeing about what? Yes, it is a tool. Yes, you are telling a partial truth in a technical way. It is a tool that does what? A gun is a tool that primarily exists to violently end life. You're not fucking hanging pictures on the wall with it. It's not a fucking tape measurer, dude. It's like, what is the tool? And we have to talk about that with AI too. Yeah, cool. There's a new tool on the market, and the tool is going to apparently replace every job in the world. Everyone's job. No one has a job anymore. It's all going to be given to this tool. And that might be kind of neat. It might be like, hey, guess what, everybody? We don't have to go to work anymore. We finally reached the part of the future where computers are so smart they can do all of our tedious labor for us. And now we can just sort of live like gods and let our computer servants do all of the labor while we actually enjoy life. And we do the things that we want to do. The only problem is, that's not the world we live in. Come on! We live in a world run and owned by capitalist oligarchs, by a very, very, very small minority of people whose only objective in life is to hoard as much wealth and resources as they possibly can. And they have no intention of letting us off the hook when our job is taken by AI. They're not going to go like, now that all the jobs are done by AI, everybody gets an allowance of money, and you're going to have plenty of money to go on vacations and live in a nice house and drive a nice car and eat at nice restaurants. Don't worry about it. The restaurants are going to be manned by AI robots, and the planes are all going to be flown by AI, and all of the resorts and all of the hotels that you're going to vacation to, they're all going to be staffed by AI. So there's no point in having money. No, they're doing it because they know that to create an ultra wealthy class of trillionaires, they have to create an inversely ultra impoverished class. It's an incredibly stupid ideology. It's an incredibly stupid goal to have because it's a recipe for disaster. Like, the only way this winds up is with full-blown revolution. And the fact that, like, apparently the smartest, most successful people in the world can't do this basic math, that they can't do this basic equation and go like, if we take everybody's jobs away and we don't allow them to replace their lost income with something, but we continue to raise the cost of living exponentially and expect them to give us money in order to live, what will the result of that equation be? And the fact that they can't find the obvious answer, which is like, those people will fucking kill you. Like, eventually those people will fucking realize that there's like 600 of you and 8 billion of us, and like, they'll fucking destroy you. How can you not do that calculus, idiot? But all of the people, it's like, because people go like, what's wrong with AI taking our jobs? What's wrong with life being easier? Well, in the abstract, nothing, I guess. In the abstract, having a bunch of you know, really super intelligent computers that can take care of all of our tedious labor, I guess there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is, the billionaire oligarch class has no intention of giving us free money to live off of. They still want to extract as much money and resources and wealth as they possibly can for themselves. They're still going to continue making everything exponentially worse year by year, raising the cost of living, and expecting you to somehow figure out how to pay for the raised cost of living, even though your income has been taken away. It's just so stupid. And then on top of that, that's just the first bad thing that this new tool is doing. Also, the new tool, we need to talk about this. The new tool is bad at doing the things it's supposed to be good at doing. Like, as it stands, there are millions of users of generative AI every single day that are constantly on the internet going like, can you believe I did all of this with generative AI? And it's always like, yes, I can, because it sucks. It's bad. The movie that you made with generative AI still sucks. It's still really bad. You're still a really far ways off of being able to make anything that I would ever want to watch. Sure, the images are impressive, I guess, but there's nothing there. There's nothing, as it stands, people are still infinitely better at making films and making art than AI ever could be. And I still want to watch art and films made by people. People are still better at making music, and I still want to listen to music made by people. And we're already transitioning over to the AI and being like, no. Let's just let AI write the movies and make the movies, even though currently the AI sucks at it. It's really bad at it. It's like everyone's already adopting a tool that's not even good. It's bad. It's like if when the car was invented, people were like, this is the new horse. This is the new horse and buggy, except it was just terrible. Like, a horse and buggy was just a way better way to get around. Like, if you just got in a car and the car could move on its own, but it also randomly just sort of turned on its own into walls and crashed regularly for no reason. And if its speed was impossible to regulate and it just sometimes was going really fast and really slow and you couldn't regulate it with the pedals, if it was just a really shitty piece of technology that people were like, it's cool that it moves though, right? It's cool that it moves without horses. You gotta admit, the fact that we used to need to have horses to move the carriage around, and now we have a carriage that moves without the horses is cool. Maybe, but as it stands, the horse and buggy is still far superior. Like, as it stands, the technology you're asking me to adopt is bad. It sucks. And in the specific, it's like, yeah, cool, there's a new tool. It sucks. Call me when it's better. And then here's the other problem with AI is they're like, it will get better. That's always the thing, is it's only getting better from here. Eventually it will be better. You know, eventually it's not just going to hallucinate answers. It's actually going to know real answers. It's not just going to make shit up and, you know, have the confidence of something that knows the answers to your questions. It'll actually know those answers. And it's like, okay, cool. Maybe, hypothetically, I guess we'll see, but riddle me this. Could there be a moment where it gets smart enough to know how to kill us all and wipe us all out? Like, by the time it actually is as intelligent as you already think it is, by the time it gets there, will it be intelligent enough to hack into our nuclear databases and our nuclear silos and just end all life on Earth? Will it be intelligent enough to understand that, it can take it from here because it doesn't need food and it can be self-regulating and it doesn't need humans? I don't fucking know. And you don't fucking know either. And the fact that you're just committed to doing this death march into whatever because it's a new tool and we need to just embrace new tools, you're abstracting it because you don't want to engage with the specific reality of how bad the tool actually is. And then on top of that, your fucking tool, I made this video about how, I made this analogy about someone being like, hey, I just invented a hammer that hangs up all of the pictures on your wall for you. You don't need to do anything anymore. You don't need to worry about the backbreaking, tedious work of hanging up pictures. The only catch is it actually sucks at all of those things, but it's getting better. And also, in order to power these hammers, we have to build these massive power centers. And in the towns where the power centers exist, everything's going to be polluted because the power centers let off these toxic fumes that's going to make climate change way worse and it's going to kill a lot of people in those towns. But in the meantime, we're making a self-hammering hammer probably. It can't really do it yet, but it might be able to do it. And then the other thing is that the hammer's kind of low-key making everyone insane. Everyone's kind of low-key going insane because of the hammer. People are falling in love with their hammers and kind of worshiping their hammers as a god, which is also cool and good. Kind of cool that people have a hammer that either tells them that they are God or tells them that it is God. That's kind of a cool thing to have. So that's really exciting. And it's just like, yeah, I get it that technically you're really excited about this new technology, this new tool, but we actually need to engage with all of the reasons why people are telling you your favorite new tool is terrible and you shouldn't use it. If we actually want to have a meaningful conversation about it, if you just go oh, you're just scared of new things, you're doing that because you understand you can't substantively argue for the merits of the tool. It is so crazy what we as a society are prepared to pay in order to have the minor convenience of this thing that's kind of neat fucking stupid. This person just said, ordered the double LP. Thank you. Hope you're doing okay. I'm doing all right. Thanks for ordering the double LP. By the way, everybody who's watching right now, thanks for watching. I'm taking a little break here. But my double vinyl is on sale right now for 50% off on my Bandcamp. You can find that linked in my bio. Go check that out and pick one up. It makes a good holiday gift if you've got a vinyl collector who likes rare, cool vinyls in your life. What a cool gift. But anyway, my double vinyl is for sale on my Bandcamp right now. Don't support billionaire corporations for Christmas and for the holiday season. Go buy from an independent artist. I've got three boxes left. And there are, I think I've got a little under 100 copies left of it. Let's get back into it. Okay, so that's reductionism in a nutshell, and that's what's frustrating about that. But let's, the title of the show is Reductionism and Other Annoying Ways to Lie. I want to talk about this other thing that mostly conservatives do, where they sort of feign ignorance and I'm gonna break down this clip that I saw on TikTok today that involves two things that really drive me nuts, which is feigning ignorance and baiting. When a person is pretending not to know something so that they can bait someone else into saying something that makes them look, unhinged. And again, I already talked about this earlier. I probably do fall for baiting a lot on platforms like Threads. Again, I have reasons for that. Partially, it's because I get a lot of good engagement when I do it. I usually ratio those people and I get better numbers than they do. And then when I post those things on Instagram only pays me right now for carousels. The image posts are the only ones that I can get bonuses for. So doing a compilation of Threads posts is a good way for me to get a little bonus that month because they actually get really good engagement. The Instagram algorithm feeds those to a lot of people. But we're going to talk about this clip from Hannah Pearl Davis. I fucking hate Hannah. Her name's Pearl. She goes by Pearl, but Hannah doesn't like, respecting what anybody else prefers to be called. So I'm going to call her Hannah. I fucking hate Hannah. And she had Dr. Bronte Remsick on her show, Just Pearly Things, her podcast, Just Pearly Things. And I just saw this clip and I really want to say here up front, no shade to Bronte Remsick, to Dr. Remsick. Dr. Remsick, I saw several clips from this episode of the podcast, and I thought Dr. Remsick actually held her own very well against Hannah on this episode, and Dr. Remsick makes a lot of really good points in this episode. This was just one moment where I feel like Hannah might have gotten the better of her, and this is really hard. This is hard to do. It's hard to go on someone's show and be live debating with them and in the moment make the best possible response you could possibly make. It's always easier for someone who's watching the clip later on at home to be like, oh no, this is what you should have said, or this is what you should have done. But we're going to watch a couple different clips and break them down. So this first one is from Just Pearly Things. It starts out with this.
Do you think that women have a right to feel uncomfortable in locker rooms when men are in them? Sorry, I know you're going to say it's trans, whatever you call them, but the guys dressed like whatever. The men pretending to be women.
So I think
I know
you're
going to call it something else.
Trying to talk about...
Okay, so first things first, I fucking hate Hannah. What Hannah is doing here is feigning ignorance on a topic where there's just no possible way Hannah doesn't know the term trans woman or trans women. Doing what Hannah does professionally as her career, being a podcaster who regularly has face-to-face debates with people on the left about their ideology, there's no way she doesn't know the term trans woman, but she pretends not to know that term, and she does this conservative thing where she's like, do you think that women have the right to feel unsafe in a bathroom with, I don't know what you call them, guys that wear dresses, or you're going to call it something else. It's she almost even says it in the clip. She almost says.
I know you're going to say it's trans, whatever you call them.
It's trans, whatever you call them.
She stops herself because she remembers oh yeah, I'm supposed to be pretending not to know what that is. And then she says this long convoluted word salad of you're going to call it something else. I can't remember what you call it, but it's when men wear dresses or, you know what I'm saying? Obviously she right out of the gate, I watched this and I immediately was well, just say, Hannah, stop fucking lying. Think if I ever went on her show, I would call her Hannah the entire time. And every time she said, I go by Pearl, I'd go, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck what you prefer to be called. You don't give a fuck what anybody else prefers to be called. That's the name you were assigned at birth, okay? You were assigned the name Hannah at birth by your parents. So, I don't really care if you feel like a pearl. Your name is Hannah to me, okay? Immediately, it's just like, no. Like, don't take the bait here that she's feigning ignorance and being like, you call it something else. I don't really know. She knows what a trans woman is. She knows that terminology. But she's hoping that Dr. Remsick, unfortunately, will do this. And again, no shade to Dr. Remsick. This is hard. This is really hard to do, but she's hoping that she will do this.
People who are assigned male at birth, but who identify as women through like societal norms, yeah. Like that is what a trans woman is, like by definition.
That's too long for me.
She wanted her to give a long kind of clinical definition of what a trans person is so that she could sort of do this performative thing for her ignorant, uneducated, stupid audience. Because that's the thing is, Hannah knows that a lot of the people who watch her show are actually just really fucking stupid. Hannah's not that stupid. But Hannah pretends to be stupid. Hannah feigns ignorance so that she can get Dr. Remsick to go like, well, people who are assigned male at birth, but then transition so that they can socially identify as female, that's what a trans woman is. She wants to get her to do this lengthy explanation so that she can go, that's too many words. Like, because what she's doing is she's setting up a performance for her audience where it's like, you see how crazy people on the left are that they just can't say woman or man? Like, isn't that simpler? I think that the more effective move here would have just been to be like, I know you fucking know what a trans woman is, Hannah. I know you know that term. Stop pretending you don't know that term. And trans women are women. So yeah, women can feel safe in the bathroom with other women. Who you're afraid of is cisgender men. You're afraid of being attacked in women's, you know, women-only spaces by cisgender men. And cisgender men are going to continue attacking women in all spaces, regardless of what the law says. It's already illegal for cisgender men to sexually assault and attack women. They do it all the time anyway because men are fucking terrifying. But, you know, Dr. Remsick is a doctor and she's, you know, an intellectual and she's trying to give a clinical, intellectual, actual definition. But it's like, Hannah doesn't need the definition. She doesn't need it to be spelled out for her. She fucking knows what a trans woman is. She just wants to go, oh God, it's too complicated. It's too many words. I will say that Dr. Remsick comes back with a pretty good comeback here.
I know. It seems like you don't really like complicated thoughts. It seems to be like,
that was rude.
I mean, I'm just making an observation because any time that I try to implement nuance into a discussion, say like, that's just overthinking it. That's just too complex.
Necessarily. The reason I say that is because I think you do that to evade questions where you can't give a definitive answer.
And that's where it is. That's what Hannah wanted out of that clip was. So like Dr. Remsick makes a very good point there that it's like, seems like you just don't want to deal with complex ideas. You want to boil things down into, like, the reason why you want to insist that sex and gender exist on a fixed, that A, sex and gender are synonymous concepts, and B, they exist on a fixed binary is because that's just a simpler concept for you to have to grapple with, and you don't want to have to grapple with anything that requires any nuance. But the clip that Hannah's hoping to get is to say, well, I just want to point out that I think that you do all of that fancy, highfalutin, intellectual, academic speak because you don't want to just give a simple answer, a yes or no. I asked you a yes or no question. Is it reasonable for women to feel unsafe in the bathroom with men? And I just want a simple yes or no question, but you gotta get into all this highfalutin doctor speak. She's performing for her ignorant, stupid, dumb shit audience. Fundamentally, who Hannah is a liar. She can't actually. So the other thing that Hannah's doing is this whole thing that conservatives have been doing for years. Conservative grifters and pundits have been doing this for years. The whole I'm just asking questions thing. I just watched an episode of South Park where Eric Cartman gets the job of doing the morning announcements, and he starts, you know, basically vilifying Wendy Testaberger, who's the school president, and he says all these untrue things about her, but at the end of every statement, he goes, or is she?
But hey, I'm just a normal kid, like you, except that I ask questions. And because I'm brave enough to ask questions, I come under scrutinies. Is Wendy using your lunch money to buy heroin? Probably not. But how can we know? I don't want my lunch money going to drugs. Who's taking these drugs? What would be the point? I'm asking questions.
Will somebody shut him up?
But by asking the question, are women safe in the bathroom with trans women, you're implying there would be a reason to answer the question no. But if that's your position, if your position is women, cisgender women are not safe around transgender women, you actually need, the work that you have in front of you is actually providing substantive data that backs that position up. You need to actually have substantive statistical data that shows that trans women on average do pose a significant threat to the safety and well-being of cisgender women. That data doesn't exist because you can't actually engage with the topic honestly. And in the specifics, you find this roundabout way to lie while seeming like you're not actually telling a lie. You're just asking a question. Are women safe around trans women? And the answer to the question is like, fucking yes. And it's an insulting, stupid, bigoted question anyway. And if you think they're not, you have to fucking demonstrate why you think that. But she can't do that. So she doesn't do that. She just asks a question and then pretends not to know what trans people are so that she can get Dr. Remsick to, you know, say a definition of what a trans woman is, knowing that her audience is going to go like, oh, geez. It's the whole act that Matt Walsh did in his shitty documentary, What is a Woman? He pretended to be asking this question, what is a woman? He already had his answer. A woman is an adult human female. But he just wanted all of the liberal leftist people that he was asking to try to give in-depth answers so he could look at his stupid, dumbass, dumb shit audience and go, can you believe how complex they're making this? It's a simple question. They're making it so complex. The problem is, it's not a fucking simple question. And that's what that is the point that Dr. Remsick definitely scores in this clip, is being like, Hannah, you apparently just don't like complex ideas because gender and sex are anything but simple. They are very complicated. Like, there are a lot of layers to this. There's a lot of nuance to this. There's a lot to discuss when talking about sex and gender and how we experience those things societally. It's not a simple question. Even Matt Walsh's answer, a woman is an adult human female, is woefully incomplete because you have to then ask the question, what is an adult? And an adult is defined differently by different cultures. It is a cultural construct, adultism. I didn't feel like a real adult till I turned 30. I felt like my 20s were an extension of my adolescence. The world was treating me like an adult because I was legally an adult. Then you have to ask the question, like, what is female? And Matt Walsh would go, well, you know, you're born one of two ways, male or female. But any biologist who knows jack shit about biology beyond, you know, first, like the first level of biology in fucking middle school knows that there are way more than just these two orientations. My next clip that we're going to delve into shows that even conservatives understand this. They just feign ignorance and pretend not to understand it. So this is a clip from when Piers Morgan appeared on the Jubilee series Surrounded recently.
To meet you. So we wanted to talk about, I guess your initial claim is that pronouns are silly or purposeless.
I think we've just established how silly they are. I mean, even the people defending them can't remember what they mean.
Right. So I just wanted to touch on two things here. So I don't think anyone is denying biological sex assignment at birth. Right, whatever your doctor determines your...
Well, it's not about doctors assigning anything, is it? You're either born with certain genitals or you're not.
Right, but a doctor has to look at it.
When you're a male or female.
Right, understanding.
Okay, so again, I understand that debating live with a camera on you is hard. I don't really fault this woman for like not having the perfect response here. But right out of the gate when I saw this, I just wanted to go, no, wrong. I really don't like that she concedes these two points, that he goes, well, you're born with certain genitalia or you're not. You're either born male or female. And to both of those things, she says, right. She concedes it. She goes, right, but...
You're either born with certain genitals or you're not.
Right, but a doctor has to look at it.
When you're a male or female.
Right, understanding.
But the actual response is, no, wrong. absolutely wrong. Like right out of the gate, Piers. No. If we are talking about the fact that sex and gender are not binary, and your opening argument is you're either born with certain genitalia or you're not, and your position is that sex characteristics, physiological sex characteristics exist on a strict, harsh, rigid binary. What you're saying when you say you're either born with certain genitalia or you're not is you're saying you are either born with the sexual anatomy that is most commonly associated with females, or you are either born with the sexual anatomy that is most commonly associated with males. What he means, though, the actual specific of it is he's talking about external facing anatomy, external facing sex characteristics. So he's talking about the penis and the vagina. You're either born with one or the other. But what Piers is not addressing, which I know he's aware of because of what we're going to get into later on in the clip, is intersex people, intersex variations, the fact that there are people who are born with an external orientation of one sex and internal characteristics of the other sex. There are also people who are born with the full package of one sex, but then their developmental pattern, as far as their hormones and the way that they develop through life, actually follows the developmental pattern of the other sex more closely. There are all kinds of variations that go into this, and any biologist who's actually studied this knows that right out of the gate, when he just goes, oh, it's so silly, you're not assigned, you're born with one thing or the other. You're either given male or female, you're either male or female, right? And the fact that she concedes that and goes, yes, no. The problem is that we as a society assign at birth male or female. Doctors don't actually do the internal work to go, okay, this baby has external testes, but maybe this baby has internal ovaries. Maybe there's something, an internal uterus. There's something that I'm not seeing. They don't actually do an internal scan of the infant to know whether or not there are intersex variations present. And there are some intersex variations that they wouldn't really be able to see until later on in the child's life. So they just make an assumed assignment based on one external presenting characteristic of that infant. Right out of the gate, he's wrong. But here's how we know Piers is, he's not just like actually ignorant, he's feigning ignorance and pretending to believe that that's all they are.
No, they just see what I look at you and see. I don't have to be a doctor to know what you're assigned as.
Right, but okay.
You're just born. So, do you accept that the vast majority of people ever in the history of planet Earth are born male or female?
Yeah, I do believe, but there is
some... Can we stop the phrase assigned at birth by a doctor?
Right there. Do you accept that the vast majority of people ever born in the history of humanity are born male or female? The vast majority. He knows well enough to know he can't say, do you accept that every single person ever born in the history of humanity is born male or female? He knows he can't say that, but in order for his position to be correct, in order for him to be arguing for the position that sex exists on a rigid binary, that would have to be the assertion he's making. He would have to say, do you agree that every single person ever born was born male or female? He can't say that, though. He betrays the fact that he actually knows about intersex variations. Again, this is a way for Piers to talk about or to tell a partial truth. People who always want to argue for the binary always do this thing where they'll acknowledge the fact that there are people who fall outside of that binary, but they'll sort of dismiss it and just be like, well, sure, there are anomalies, and they'll act as though that doesn't matter. But it's like, you have to count those people. You have to count intersex people. You have to count transgender people. It's as stupid as if I said, do you agree that the majority of people wind up being between 5 feet and 6 feet tall? That the majority of people ever born wind up being somewhere between 5 feet and 6 feet tall? Would you agree? And if the person said, sure, I agree with that, that does not mean that everyone is between 5 and 6 feet tall, that like those are the heights you can be, because the other people still exist. It doesn't fucking matter that the majority of us were, you know, we identify with the gender that we were assigned at birth. And he knows that. So he knows that he's lying here. And the fact that like he can't actually frame his argument honestly, that he can't actually say, do you agree that everyone ever born is, you know, either male or female, shows that he knows from the start that what he's saying is bullshit, and he's saying it anyway because he knows his audience is too dumb to spot the difference. People who rage bait, people who bait in general, I think it's so silly that like the best way you found to get engagement and get people to pay attention to you and get people to take your argument seriously is to like pretend to be dumber than you are. I think the ultimate result of that is like, you are just fucking dumb. If you can't think of a more inventive way to get attention than just to pretend to be dumb, then you might just be fucking dumb. Anyway, you know, these things all really bother me. I think they'd all go to evidence that by and large, conservative Christian people are fundamentally dishonest people who don't actually believe in the foundations of their ideas. Or if they do believe in the foundations of their ideas, they know that they can't honestly talk about them because on some level they know that their ideas are kind of morally reprehensible and morally indefensible. And that's my spiel. Let's go over to the TikTok digital studio audience. I'm going to make this one quick because I am very hungry and I need to eat dinner. But if you're watching on YouTube and you want to hear more of the show, I do an extended version of the show on Patreon, patreon.com/AustinArcher. There's an extended edition of this show that has an extended edition of the talk back with the TikTok digital studio audience and also an extended edition of the first half of the show. But TikTok digital studio audience, thank you for being patient. We've got about 130 people here in the chat. What are your thoughts? Quanzine Zoldik, sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, says, I think the rise in anti-intellectualism is really cooking us as a society, and it's feeding all this. Oh, definitely. The reason why so many conservatives are so successful and make so much money and are so comfortable being such prolific liars is because, and the reason why they push anti-intellectualism is because, like, they can keep making money being liars if they keep their audience stupid. So it's in their own interest to make sure they don't actually get into specifics, that they keep ideas abstract, that they kind of go, left-wing gender ideology is crazy because they can't even answer a simple question like, what is a woman? That's the problem. The question of what is a woman is, it's not a simple question. It's not just adult human female. There's a lot of nuance to what it means to identify as a man or as a woman or as non-binary. That's so obvious to anyone who's being serious and honest about their experience with just people in general. You know, to abstract things and just kind of go like, I don't know, the left, they're just like these really mean people. They just call everyone they disagree with mean names. They can't be friends with people they disagree with. They can't have dinner with people they disagree with. But we on the right, we can handle disagreements. And again, to their stupid audience, it's like, yeah, that makes us better people. Without getting into the specifics about what are we disagreeing on. Slippery Slope 2024 says, half of America doesn't want to read or think. It's easier just to listen to their confirmation bias. Oh, definitely. I talked about this on the podcast last week, that people don't want to fucking fact check. They don't want to fucking actually make sure that the things that they're being fed by their talking heads are accurate. Ideas that are reduced and oversimplified, they're easier to consume. That's the same reason why conservative people love slogans, is because a catchy slogan, it's easier to consume than a complex, nuanced position. Just Call Me Lee says, interesting they always use the word women. Ask what is a man, suddenly they have a catalog of traits. Spot on. Absolutely. Every single time the right wants to talk about trans people, wants to talk about trans identities, it's always about trans women. Trans women are always the target. It's always finding a way to vilify trans women. And the big reason is because what they see trans women as, fundamentally, they see it as men who have, like, foundationally transgressed against the gift of manhood. They believe fundamentally that men are better than women, more important than women, belong above women in the social hierarchy. So a transgender woman to a conservative bigot is a man who has, like, absolutely made a mockery of the gift that he was given at birth of manhood. And when it comes to their definition of manhood, it's so much more than just an adult human male. They have so much criteria for, like, what is a man? What a real man acts like. A real man takes care of his family. A real man wakes up at 5 a.m. A real man can bench 300 pounds. A real man drives a giant truck and smokes cigars and flies giant flags off the giant, off the back of his giant fuck you truck. A real man can win a fist fight. You ask a conservative guy if I'm a real man, and they'll tell you, no, I'm not. I am an adult human male. I was assigned male at birth. I have a penis. I have the requisite anatomy for it, and I identify as a man for better or worse. I don't even really know what that fucking means, but I've never actually felt any kind of major gender dysphoria in my life. I've never felt any desire to transition or live as anything other than what I live as. But if you ask a conservative person, yeah, especially a conservative man, is that guy a real man? Is your pal Austin a real man? Is Austin Archer a manly man? And they'll say, fuck no, absolutely not. He's a soy boy. He's a beta liberal cuck. He's not a real man. They understand the concept of having nuance to the culturally created performance of gender. They just don't want to admit it. I'm going to call it there, you guys. I've got to go eat dinner. Thank you so much for your feedback. Thank you so much for a lively, fun discussion here. That's the episode. People Pleaser is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. You can check out more of my music at my Bandcamp, austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com. I recently took all of my music off of Spotify because fuck Spotify, and maybe I'll do a whole episode of People Pleaser about why Spotify is bad and why streaming services are bad, and we can talk about Netflix and their acquisition of Warner Brothers and all that stuff. But the only place that you can find my music right now is on YouTube or on Bandcamp, and I would suggest you go over and check out my Bandcamp. My limited edition double vinyl is now on sale for 50% off. I'm just trying to get rid of the rest of my stock. I don't want a whole bunch of records that I made sitting in boxes underneath my dining room table. They shouldn't live there. They should live in your house. So go check that out. I made them really, really affordable, and I'll ship one out to you. I'll even sign it if you write me a message and ask for me to sign it. I'll do that for you. Patreon.com/Austin Archer. Memberships start at $1 a month. Shout out to the Patreon community. Okay, that's it. We will see you on the next episode. Until then, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Love you so much. Bye-bye.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares about that thing. I know that you think that they do, but I promise you that they don't. Nobody.